Welcome back. Yelp launches health and safety measures, community feedback. Google reportedly blocking Australian news from search. And YouTube launches a new hashtag search results page. You're listening to News on the Edge, week of January 18th, 2021, here on Edge of the Web Radio.
From the Edge of the Web studios, here's what we're looking at this week.
So welcome back. This is Edge of the Web Radio. I'm your host, Aaron Sparks of Site Strategics. Every week, we bring you amazing guests to chat about digital marketing topics around the world. Each and every week, we're covering the SEO and digital marketing news on this separate podcast, separate from our weekly interview that we're releasing each and every Wednesday or Thursday. So check out all the information over at edgeofthewebradio.com. We're bringing this news to you each and every Tuesday so you can use it for your digital mayhem out there on an ongoing basis. We're trying to get this more and more timely for you. Joining me this week to get his take on all things digital, all things SEO titled, is Morty Oberstein, SEO liaison over at Wix. How you doing, Morty?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here. Happy that you didn't replace me with your mother. So...
I think the best thing would be just let you record, and we're actually going to put her avatar over your face.
who is that insulting, me or your mother?
Well, she's going to be channeling Morty's brilliant insights, right?
Hey, yeah, okay, so fine. let's do that next week.
Next week, absolutely. Okay, not. Good. No way, absolutely. she would disown me if I started doing that, right? She would, and she'd actually curse at me in a British accent. So nobody actually wants that.
I do.
So what's going on in Morty's world over in Wix?
Oh, it's good. Got a lot of exciting things going on. Mm-hmm. A lot of ins and outs, a lot of, you know, what have yous. Some interesting tools coming your way very shortly, having to do with log analysis.
Okay, he finally gave us something. I was wondering if that sentence was going to have anything of any meat in there whatsoever. He was literally talking.
I was channeling an inner Big Lebowski, a lot of ins and outs, a lot of what have yous.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I completely.
Oh, see?
You did a flyby. I'm sorry.
We are soon releasing a little tease, a new tool as part of your Wix dashboard that will help you analyze your bot logs.
Tell us what the bot logs are.
So when a bot, like Google bot, comes to your site, you want to make sure that they're crawling most regularly those pages that are important to you. And if they're not, and they're crawling other pages more frequently, then maybe you have a problem need to fix.
That's very cool. And you know what? There's a need for that tool. How often is that really being done? I mean, it's a rarity that people even get access to their logs, right?
Right. Yeah. So it'll be right there for you in your Wix dashboard. Sweet. Or wherever they're going to put it somewhere.
That's
soon.
Awesome.
Very soon.
Will you be able to actually set priorities to certain pages?
Well, you'll be able to. So I don't know the details yet.
Sure. Because it's still
in QA. It's still in mock-up. So I haven't seen the final version.
Got it.
But it's in QA. So that means it's coming really soon.
Ah, cool. We got to check that out. Yep. Very cool. All righty. Let's have a look at our first article of the news of the week. From search engine land, Yelp launches health and safety measures, community feedback feature. So they launched a new rating feature for community to leave feedback on local businesses, social distancing, and mask compliance. Obviously, because of COVID, we have to know what's going on there. And they've, as the situation evolves, SMBs and local businesses want to ensure they're communicating their safety precautions to customers. Yelp rolled out this tool where Yelp users can actually give feedback, customer feedback, on how well businesses are actually adhering to pandemic precautions like social distancing and mask wearing. And the release they rolled out this week, Akhil Kudovali Ramesh, I should have probably read that before I actually botched his name, head of the consumer product, says, similar to how users can provide Yelp with feedback on whether a business is kid-friendly or great for groups, we're now reflecting our users' observations about businesses' safety practices during the pandemic. All right, so before I weigh in, Morty, what are your thoughts about this feedback process?
Well, I was going to ask you, would that be helpful to you as a user?
It would be helpful. However, I'm highly concerned about that type of, so let's just cut to the chase here. You got, if somebody wants to give you a bad review, you now have the ability to basically COVID shame them, especially
that's
if,
a, good point.
Yeah. If they're professing a particular, if they're doing social distancing, this, that, and the other. Now, the governor on this is that you have to have multiple users complaining or affirming that they're adhering to practice. So you just can't, you know, tag the reference. But at the same time, Google
could all get together and
absolutely
do it.
It could be a group shaming, right?
A group shaming. Yeah. I was all caught up in the excitement. I'm like, wow, I can't believe Google didn't think of this.
In fact, it's
great information, right? You show up.
Yeah.
Sometimes I show up at a store. There's nothing going on. It's all sort of COVID free for all. I'm like, I got to get myself out of here before I die.
Right.
And I wish I would have known beforehand. So the information is really good if it's accurate. If it's not accurate, then that's going to be on Yelp. Like, why are you showing me inaccurate information?
Right. But if you remember back in the early days of COVID in 2020, of course, that's when it started.
Early days of COVID.
That's like six years ago at this point, right?
It really feels like that. But Google.
Wait, do you remember life before COVID? I don't.
I don't. I honestly, it's all a blur, right? So that's what happens when you're compressed in your house for such a long time. The paint starts to peel off the walls, or at least you think it is. Anyway, if you remember way back when, Google actually shut down its review tool for a number of months right as COVID started because they didn't want to see such these potential skirmishes happening because nothing was known about what was happening and everybody was navigating their own response, right? So now we're in this new phase where you can be reported on, right, of adhering or not adhering to what is already, I guess I have to ask the question, are the Yelp feedback only tying into what has been professed by the organization on Yelp? For example, businesses can promote their precautions like heated outdoor seating, one-to-one sessions available, disposable or contactless menu. Are the users actually reporting on that? Because that would then be, yes, they're adhering to professed guidelines. But if people are going into the shop and saying, hey, I heard this as something on the news that all businesses should be doing, and I'm going to report you that you're not doing it, even if it's not in the state or the city mandated, man, that's a slippery slope right there.
That's interesting because I wonder because there are different managed different places. But by the way, you can do that in a Google review right now.
Yep.
Like, let's say you're in a place where the store says, breathe all over everybody you want. You can breathe all over people. It's totally fine. You don't have to wear a mask.
Right.
And I go in there and I leave a review like, wow, this place is a COVID free-for-all. I'm not like, don't go here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible to still do now anyway on Google.
Sure.
Or anywhere. You could do that. It's just a little bit more highlighted. Okay, but what about the other side? Like, it is really good information.
Absolutely.
At the same time.
Boy, I went negative there, didn't I?
Yeah. No, but I hear what you're saying. Like, you could totally abuse this. Evidently, have you been abused by reviews before?
Have I been? Oh, you actually, you had a Twitter thread out there for a while.
We do.
We actually, I did a long time ago. We had some guy that was complaining about how we did websites. And it was the guy that we interviewed that we didn't give the job to. And all of a sudden, he's just lambasting us all over the place. The guy also happened to have no online representations of his work. He had to go back into the Wayback Machine to demonstrate how we could actually do web work. But that's neither here nor there. But go ahead. Yeah, you had a Twitter thread going out there regarding Google reviews, right?
Yeah, that was on SEO chat.
Mm-hmm.
We had a whole Jason Brown,
yep.
Famed local SEO, famed for a spam hunter. So there was a whole thread about what do you do with bad reviews? How do you reply back to them? Like you had, everybody was basically in agreement. You have to reply back to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like don't not reply back to them.
Absolutely.
Which kind of makes sense. Like a couple of pieces of advice. Jason Brown himself said, don't take it personally. Which I think businesses, I've seen that. I've personally seen businesses take it very personally, and that doesn't end well. Crystal Tang said, don't. She said, always reply with a personal message.
Yep.
Don't template it. What was some other advice? Alan Blyweiss, when he was not being a sarcastic and always pleasant. I love Alan, by the way. He's one of my favorite. Alan's literally my favorite people in the SEO community.
Yeah, we're gonna get him on the show here.
We're gonna get
Morty and Alan and just and myself.
I would love that.
To see what we
can.
What kind of sarcasm stew that we could.
Oh, that'd be so good. So he had a great piece of advice. He said, you know, it's okay to have a difference of opinion,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes if you showcase that difference of opinion. But you do it in a respectful way, that's enough to diffuse the whole situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't actually have to say, you know, you're right, customer. We're so sorry. If that's not the case, if you respectfully disagree, that could be enough.
Yeah.
As it is.
So what about
some good advice there?
So what about if somebody's actually reviewing you in all caps? Should you actually respond in all caps just to raise up the level of respect?
Yeah. Also with the emoji middle finger would also be a good idea.
So don't match the temperature. That's what you're saying.
No. Like, yeah, take a break first. Come back to it later. Seriously, like, come back to it later after you first read it.
I think I caught a comment. I can't remember who put it in there. What does it mean whenever somebody says, let's go ahead and take this offline, right? It's like, Are they going back behind the building?
Right.
I think John Mueller actually chimed in on that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he said, get your brass knuckles.
Get your brass knuckles. Let's take this offline. Let's go back behind the shed.
That's how we handle reviews in Brooklyn.
Hey, second article by Matt Southern over at Search Engine Journal. Here's a bit of news for you. Google reportedly blocking Australian news from search, reportedly admitting to blocking Australian news sites from search results following a government order to pay news publishers. Now, you need to pay attention to this because this is pretty interesting, and there's this kind of a canary in the coal mine, I think, perspective here. Google is removing some of Australian news sites from search results in a move which follows this government order to pay publishers for the content. The Sydney Morning Herald, which is one of the affected news sites, reports Google has admitted to removing content as part of an experiment. The Google spokesperson tells the Herald, we're currently running a few experiments that will each reach about 1% of Google search users in Australia to measure the impacts of news business and Google search on each other. The experiment is expected to run early next month. Google's receiving much criticism for its decision to run an experiment which demonstrates the impact on the Australian news business. Here's the deal, is that Australian was putting together a code proposed for the industry, saying it provides a value to publishers through, in 2018, Google estimates the value of it provides to publishers for referral traffic is around $218 million of just organic traffic coming in. The proposed code would allow publishers to negotiate deals with tech platforms like Google and Facebook so they can actually get paid for the content that they're displaying on search results. It's not only search results, it's also Discover and any other Google properties. All right, so there's the deal, is that this country is actually saying, Google, you need to pay us for what you're using that's originating out of our sites, our news organizations. Google counters with, hey, the traffic that we're giving you is around $218 million in value, quote unquote, right? And Google does hope to get a fair and workable code before it actually goes to a final vote in the Australian government. They say, we remain committed to getting a workable code and look forward to working with the Senate committee, policymakers, and publishers to achieve an outcome that's fair for everyone in all interests of all of Australia. All right, so there's the rollout here on this issue, is that we have a government that's trying to protect its news organizations, or actually advocate for the news organizations that there's valuable content that Google's utilizing and repurposing. I don't think Google's ever paid news organizations for their own content. This would set a precedent. And by the way, people are looking at this experiment. All of a sudden, news organizations are just not showing up on search. Is that a bullying tactic right there?
That's the experiment. You know what the experiment is? Let's put on the brass knuckles.
Yeah.
Step outside in the back. And let's see how this goes. But can I be okay? I have a hot take on this also.
Yeah.
And you don't want Google scraping your site. You don't want your site. No, index your site. Go ahead.
See what happens.
I don't see sites doing that, right?
Nope.
So it's not like big bad Google. Like, you want, I don't get it.
Right.
And maybe I'm wrong. Feel free to disagree with me. I know it's a little bit of a hot take. You don't want Google putting your site on the SERP? First off, you can paywall the content, right? They scrape your site, they show it on the SERP.
Yep.
User comes in, they have to pay for it. Like, I don't, like, what's the, I don't get the problem. Maybe I'm crazy.
The problem is that, you know, obviously they're trying to monetize their own content and devalue any of the search visibility. Their position is that, hey, you're benefiting from our content. It's not just that we're benefiting from the organic traffic, you're using it in other ways that we're not in control of. But
like, what?
Discover and other other uses.
But Discover's like the SERP. It's a carousel.
All comes back to the page. Absolutely.
Yeah, it all goes back to the page. It's not like a featured snippet or a direct answer where there's a lot of unless you're skimming headlines, you're gonna click on the result.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and that's the thing. It's not an equitable argument, right? Is that if you have and I think Rachel Anderson tweeted in there, she did some calculations on this. 86.5% of the AU population uses the internet, 21 million and some change, almost 22 million people. And Google has 95% of the market. 1%, the experiment that they're talking about, is over 200,000 people. Publishers excluded from search in this experiment are losing out on visits from over 200K users each day. She says, it feels like blackmail to me. This is this hyper-reactive environment that we're in, Morty, nowadays, is that, okay, if you're actually trying to force Google to pay for something, right, Google's going to flip the switch.
Yeah, like, what do you want? It's their ecosystem. They do what they want.
Exactly.
You can block them. You can de-index the whole site.
Yep.
Get your traffic from Bing. See how that goes.
We love Bing. Bing's a good player.
Bing. I happen to like Bing, by the way. I mean, for certain things. I like the way their SERP looks sometimes more than Google's.
Yeah. So your take on this is that they're actually barking up the wrong tree.
I think so.
That they're not looking at the value of what the indexing of the content and the visibility of that content actually represents to those news organizations.
Yeah, I call their bluff. Just de-index the site. I mean, look, I'll take it one step further. I find it ironic that the big publishers are the ones complaining about this because the little publishers are the ones that are getting killed. They don't even show up on the SERP.
Right. Right.
They have a gripe. And there's a lack of news diversity. Everything gets it's CNN, Politico, CBS, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And, you know, the Wichita Times or the whatever can't rank.
However, I did catch a story where local news organizations were actually getting mashed up into the local SERPs.
Yeah,
and it has begun to actually trickle through that there's not only local businesses but local organizations because of their contribution out there. You just hope that those local websites have their stuff together, that they're not blocking or having some sort of paid wall or something like that,
or some sort of like quality issue with a million ads on the page, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
I'm glad that's. I mean, I know they talked about doing that a while back. It's good to hear that they're actually doing it because there is a lot of. Look, I'll tell you, as a sports fan. When I put in a query for, like, say, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I get ESPN back, it's a disappointment. I'd rather have the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, which is a big publication, but it's a more local publication because the content in there is way more nuanced.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
But that's just me.
I know. I would agree with you. And we're seeing that type of evolution in the SERP itself. All right. So there's a hotly contested mess down under, and we're certainly going to be watching that. I just think that this is... We're in precedent-setting mode now. Just talked to Sam Tomlinson last week. We just released the first segment of his interview, and we're talking antitrust and antitrust issues. And that's a meaty topic, and man, there's such a hotbed right now of contrarian viewpoints that are going... It's going to cost so many millions of dollars to plow through this mess, right?
That's the thing, right? So whatever happens in Australia, you know what's going to happen in America next.
Oh, yeah.
Or the UK. That's why it's important to keep up with this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, okay. Good segment. Something to keep up with as well is jumping into Ahrefs. That's a fantastic tool set to be able to keep up with your competition. There's the segue right there. That's what I was trying to get for. But check out their tools. It's a fantastic analysis platform to be able to see how your competitors are getting their traffic, where they rank, where you don't, what kind of links they have. That's a fantastic audit tool and much more. So go over to ahrefs.com. We're proud to be able to have a longtime sponsor of the show, and they have a great special 7 days for $7. You get the entire platform so you can analyze everything that you want to see to be able to build a successful campaign of yourself. So go check out ahrefs.com today. All right, last article from Search Engine Journal. Matt Southern is on deck here, and YouTube actually launches a new hashtag search results page. YouTube is actually improving, I should say. YouTube is improving its ability to search by hashtags with the launch of a dedicated results page. I don't think I've botched a headline like that in a long time, so we're gonna keep that in post. God.
Don't edit that out.
Oh, my gosh. That was terrible. Sorry, Matt. So, YouTube first introduced the ability to search by hashtag in 2018, but it never really worked perfectly. Previously, a hashtag search would include content using hashtag and other related content that it didn't really contain the hashtag itself. So now, whenever you're searching for a specific hashtag on YouTube on either desktop or mobile app, users will see a dedicated page that only contains videos with that hashtag. And they give an example of hashtag SEO, and there's Neil Patel.
The guy ranks for everything.
He does.
It's unbelievable.
How can you be mad at him, folks? He's everywhere. So, again, hashtags have a much, much more tractionable real estate now. So pay attention to that and don't abuse your hashtags. That's the other factor is that...
Oh, you know everybody's going to start doing that. It's the first thing. God. Hashtag SEO.
Oh, I guess maybe hashtag density is the new way to optimize your YouTube video, right?
There are 5 ways to upgrade your YouTube presence. Number one, hashtag density.
I think
maybe some tools to make a new score for it. Like, what's your hashtag density?
I think Tim Schmoyer is probably cursing me right now. He doesn't know why, but he is. What are your thoughts on this from a hashtag standpoint? Are hashtags overused? Are they even used? Is there a measurable factor of success populating hashtags? I've seen hashtags in Facebook forever. Where is the traction there? What's the value there?
I don't know. To be honest, I'm on Twitter all the time and I use tons of hashtags. I highly doubt I get much of anything from that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work for me. The YouTube hashtag thing. Oh, I don't have it yet in Israel. So
you gotta do hashtag Israel.
Yeah, but I don't understand the difference. Let's say I'm gonna search for SEO.
Right.
And then I search for hashtag SEO. What's the difference?
Sounds like your hashtag left out.
It. Yeah. You got to put hashtag Neil Patel in there.
All my queries start with hashtag Neil Patel. I don't know. Is this like Google trying to like pretend that they're a social media platform again?
No, guys, let's not even go there.
Is this Google Plus right here?
What was that Google video experiment that they were rolling out? It's like Lean or what was that thing we talked about a while back? They had some sort of, it was going to be a challenge to Instagram. I can't even remember the name of it. So obviously water has rolled under the bridge.
Wow.
Right.
But I don't even remember that.
Oh my gosh. And this was like in the last 6 to 8 months that they had something that they were diving into for Jacob's pulling up on screen. He's got it. He's gone.
I feel like we're on the Joe Rogan show now. He'll get the guy pulling up the thing on the side.
He can't find it. Oh, it's terrible.
Except we're not as good as the Joe Rogan show. Yeah. We can't pull it up.
No, absolutely not. We're just going to wait for you, Jake. No, it's not going to happen.
Nothing yet. I'm looking.
Oh, man.
All right. So with that.
Okay. So with that.
So what's coming up in SEO chat this week?
David Iwanowau. I totally botched his name.
As bad as I did for...
Iwanowau. David Iwanowau. I just totally can't believe I botched that. So he's hosting this week, and it's a buffet of various topics in SEO chat. Usually we do one topic. Mm-hmm. Last week was all about local reviews and spam and whatnot.
Yep.
This week we're talking about agency nightmares, SEO spam stories.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah. It was a good idea, actually. Instead of going, one topic, David is going... multiple topics throughout SEO chat. So
sweet.
1 p.m. Eastern time this 1 p.m. 1 p.m. I got it right. See, I can't get anything right today. 1 p.m. Eastern time this Thursday.
We are very sloppy today. You know that we're just
I'm telling you.
Just rolling into Monday. Is it Tuesday yet?
Feels like Thursday, by the way.
I'm saying. Hey, we certainly want our audience to jump into SEO chat. Hashtag using it the right way. Hashtag SEO right. Chat on Twitter.
That's a hashtag that makes sense.
It really does. It really
does.
That
makes sense. Hey, Google, you can do a YouTube chat with the hashtags.
Oh, no. Stop that. Stop it.
And you can upload, and the way you chat is by uploading new videos constantly.
The resurrection of Vine. It'll just do 7 seconds, yep. 7 seconds. Oh, gosh. Yep.
It's hashtag TikTok on YouTube.
You need to stop now.
I want to, if they do that, like, I want to, it's January 18th, 2021. I want full credit for it if they do that.
Okay, we'll give it to you.
All right.
All right, so thanks so much, Morty. We'll catch you next week, and let us know if there's anything that's trending. We're certainly wanting to make sure our audience pays attention to our Twitter accounts, because we're certainly going to be pushing more and more moving news, not just the news that we cover this week. So watch Morty's what's your social, Morty, real quick?
It's at Morty Oberstein, my name with the at sign in front of it.
Very good. And you can also track us down at Edge Web Radio as well. We're going to be pushing news all the way through the week. So thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week, Morty.
Bye.
Night. That's it for Edge News this week. Watch for the first part of Sam Tomlinson's interview about big tech antitrust issues. We just dropped that, and we're going to be doing the second segment here on Wednesday. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe our YouTube channel. No, we don't have hashtags over there, but you can certainly get updated when we release the entire interview each and every time we do each week. So from all of us over at Edge, we're sorry we're so sloppy today, but we'll improve ourselves next week. We promise. Be safe, be well, and do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.